Okay, it's July 28th today. It's a Friday, and we're at our roundtable discussion. I'm Thomas Robb.
I'm Jason Robb.
And we are here set to go. And any great news you want to talk about, Jason? I know last time we kind of talked about some articles that were in the last issue of the Crusader.
Right.
And we didn't cover them all, so we can talk about some more about those.
I would say that for listeners, on the very beginning is, you know, people really need to, that our Knights members really need to make plans to be at the Knights Party Leadership and Family Congress. And if you're not a member and would like to attend, you're able to attend as well. But that is scheduled for September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That's Labor Day weekend, all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And we have the traditional cross lighting Sunday evening. And I would just really encourage everyone to mark that on your calendars and bring your family. Yeah. I don't know how much we can stress about that. Bring your family.
I want to say that you're going to go on the internet or YouTube, you're going to see some buffoons.
Right.
You know, clanner over stuff. You know, that's not us. Those people are just character actors.
Well, as Trump would say, you know, instead of fake news, it's fake clan.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Knights Party is a professional organization, been in existence for over 50 years. Very well established, very strong from the standpoint of stability, consistency, and we are a family-oriented family organization, and we have members and associates all across the United States and in Europe, and we love America. We love traditional America. We love how America used to be, and we don't want to see America how it's changing now. And we really just would encourage everyone to come to the Congress and bring your family. And there's activities for the children and teenagers. There's just activities for
everyone. We have gospel music by Stephen Bonney from Tulsa.
And then we have a Heritage Connection, white racialist band. And great speakers, great outdoor activities. People can have a bonfire a lot of times. And then we have people that, and I would say a nice retreat, family retreat, a campground. And we have a nice aesthetic pond. We have ducks there. People sit around and watch the ducks in the pond. And just nice, you know, relaxing atmosphere in the Ozarks. You're not in a major city, so you're not having to hear the cars and buses, sirens and
helicopters.
You don't have to worry about any of that. So it really is a great event. And the theme for this year of Congress is Contend for the Faith. Contend for the Faith. And I think that's a really excellent theme with the times that we are seeing that we are in now.
Absolutely. Because contending for the faith is the core of it. We don't stand up for the ideals that made us a people, which includes our faith, our Christian faith and beliefs. We're just going to walk away from those things. And what's the purpose of all of this?
Right.
So it's something that we're looking forward to. It's only a few weeks away, September 1, 2, and 3. So, you know, make plans. Mark your calendar. As you say, Jason, all the time, just walk to your calendar. You got a pen. Mark it. September 1, put a check there. And then when September, the last day of August comes, jump in the car, get off work Friday night, get in the car, drive. You know, some people think, well, you know, I have people sometime where I say, well, I live in Southern Arkansas. Is anything like this around here? No. And Southern Arkansas is just a few hours away, you know.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you're literally, you're between 10 and 12 hours, 15 hours driving time,
That's doable.
There's no excuse.
That's doable. You get off work at 5 o'clock, get in the car, have your wife pack some sandwiches, get in the car, and you get in here, pull in here Saturday morning. You're going to be tired, but you're going to be reinvigorated, too.
Exactly.
You're going to have a good time, and the kids are going to have a wonderful time. Drive through the night, let the kids sleep. Mom and dad can shift driving, back and forth drivers, and the kids can sleep in the back seat. You're going to get here, and you're going to have a great time. You won't know you're tired once you get here.
Well, I mean, the thing is,
I've done it. We've done it, so we know what we're talking about.
We've done it all the time.
Yeah.
And we still do, depending on where we go. But the thing is, if you're a parent with children, then this conference is more important for the children than you. Because you want your children to be around like-minded people. You want them to be around other children that have the same love and desire to preserve their race and their culture and heritage. And so that is more important for your children, because if you already believe in this, if you believe in all those ideas, then that's great. You're reinforcing your ideas, but it's more important for your children, because those children need to have those desires when they get older to preserve those your culture and heritage.
Maybe I'll see this as a fun activity.
Right.
Just like going to a football game, you know, and little kids are wearing the football jerseys and they're excited. Why? Well, because mom and dad are excited.
Right.
Or maybe just dad, or maybe just mom. But they're excited because that excitement bleeds over to them. And it's the same thing with this movement. Sometimes people think, well, I'm going to leave the wife and kids at home so I can go to the Klan rally or go to the Klan meeting, you know. And or it's too far, you know, they won't get home too late, or whatever. There are all kinds of excuses. And your children are the very reason why you need to be here. Because they have to be empowered. They have to be excited about this. But I've seen too many people come to conferences and leave their kids at home and wonder why the kids don't have no love for this message. All right, Jason, we had last issue of the paper, we had an article about the Save Our Monument Project. And why don't you tell people what that's about?
Well, the Save Our Monument Project is the idea that we, as the Knights Party organization, along with the Christian Revival Center, wants to help preserve our monuments that are being destroyed. And we see those monuments throughout the South in particular. For example, Memphis, Tennessee, where they the town council have voted to remove the Nathan Bedford Forrest statue. We have in Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri, where they have removed a Confederate monument depicting a soldier leaving his family, going to the war with the angels above him. We see the monuments down in New Orleans with Jefferson Davis and Beauregard and Robert E. Lee, just to name a few, monuments being removed down in New Orleans. And so throughout the whole South.
There's monuments in the streets that want to change?
Yeah,
the streets.
Yeah.
Some city parks?
Right. And so in particular, these monuments, these cities, what we are doing as the Knights Party, we, through my law office, we are sending letters to the mayors in the city councils of these various cities asking for us to obtain those monuments. And we know that for the most part is a very long shot, but we have to make that effort. That's part of contending for the faith. And so what we are doing, we're sending letters asking for us to be able to obtain these monuments so we can return those monuments, or not return them, but move those monuments to the Christian Revival Center here in the Ozarks. We have 80 to 100 acres here, various large grounds to place these monuments if we are able to obtain any of them and put them and place them on our grounds here. And so that's the idea of Save Our Monument Project, because we know that throughout the South, and it's happening in the North, but the South, for the most part, is where we're really seeing this happening.
Where they're going after the Confederacy heroes now.
Right. It's just a start.
We've seen strong suggestions to even remove monuments like George Washington.
Yeah. Well, they've already done that.
Right.
Yeah.
So there, because, and we, people might say, why would they want those? It's because America, United States, before the Confederacy, is considered to be a white power structured nation.
Absolutely.
Founded upon white people, for white people, considered part of the white establishment of that government allows slavery. So it's not like the idea that they love the North and hate the South. They love all that represents white people, whether it be in the South or our Northern heroes also.
Right. So they're wanting to remove all of that. And there's been stories where they've removed George Washington's statue and bust in Washington, D.C., Jefferson Davis, or Thomas Jefferson. They've removed his statute in various parts and cities. But the idea here is we want to take these monuments that's being removed and move them here to the Christian Revival Center campground. And the reason we want to do that, because we don't want our monuments to be destroyed. And if they are going to be removed, we want to be able to take them. Now,
do you think they're going to actually answer you and send us a monument?
I doubt it.
But
it could happen.
We don't know.
You always could have, who knows, you could have a city who says, that's right, they want
they
that
want
monument.
Have it.
Yeah, they want that racist monument. You can have it, you know. They would probably be more happy than that than give them to some type of museum, you know. So, yeah, I could foresee that one of these days it can happen, but we at least have to make that step. And like you said, Dad, you know, not only are they removing the statutes, they're renaming cities, the parks, their schools, the symbols.
Not renaming cities, renaming city parks.
City parks, excuse me, city parks. Schools, the symbols of the schools. For example, in Arkansas, down Fort Smith, they changed the symbol. It used to be Robert E. Lee, you know, kind of like the old man's image of him. They changed that. Various schools that have the Confederate flag as their symbol, they're changing those symbols, and so they are. Throughout the South, particularly, they're destroying anything of a white culture. And so that's what they are doing.
Well, what about this deal about Joan of Arc?
And Joan of Arc.
Was she a Klan lady? Was she a Klan?
She wasn't.
She wasn't.
So, yeah, Joan
Did
of Arc.
Is she slaves?
She has. Not as far as I'm aware of. But Joan of Arc in New Orleans, since they were successful in removing those four monuments in New Orleans saying that they represented the evil white supremacists of the South. Now those same black leaders are now trying to go after Joan of Arc because she represents something of a white symbol, a white character, a strong
from the 14th century.
Yeah, a strong white Christian woman. Yeah. And they don't want that symbolism.
Right. So she had nothing to do with the Klan, nothing to do with white supremacy, nothing to do with the United States.
Nothing with the South.
Never put her foot over here to America.
Yeah.
Obviously nothing with the South, but she represents a white hero.
She represents more particularly a white French lady.
Right.
Because New Orleans was settled by the French.
Yeah.
And so that's why they have this great.
What about Charles de Gaulle? They want there's a street named after Charles de Gaulle, and they want to change that.
Right.
Now, he was a Frenchman, fought the Nazis in World War II.
Right.
And then later became president of France. What does he have to do with the South? You know?
Right.
It's absurd.
Right. It's just ultimate, and we know this, but for the most part, a lot of people are not aware of it. But the thing is, it's not they want to remove any symbolism of the White South, or the Confederacy. They are wanting to literally destroy any symbolism of a person that you can look at and reflect on of saying that's a proud white person, you know, or a white lady like Joan of Arc. They don't want any of our children, our descendants, to be able to reflect on something in the past and to grasp it and say, I am proud. That's my heritage. That's my culture. And they want that destroyed.
This is something that I've been saying for 30 years, that they want to destroy our history. They do not want us to be proud of history. And the reason why they don't want us to be proud of our history is because the moment we become proud of our ancestry, proud of our history, we become conquerors again.
Right.
And so in order to defeat us, this is part of a military strategy, I guess. They want us to be destroyed. They know, because our history of white people is a history of conquest. I mean, white people conquer wherever they went. They could just conquer the land. And the history of non-whites is, for the most part, a history of submission.
Right.
Whenever white people come into a land, we conquer, they're submitted. So they know that if we have pride in our history, in our culture, in our ancestors, we develop a sense of pride and the conquering spirit again.
And you're willing to fight for it. But if you have nothing worth fighting for,
right,
then you don't care if your culture is being destroyed.
Yeah.
Because
if there's no value to culture.
Yeah.
If it has no value, then why would we fight to preserve it?
Yeah. Let me, there's that on the article that we have called Save Our Monument Project.
Now, this is from the recent issue of the Crusade.
Recent issue of the Crusade. And this is, I think this is, I was looking at a statistic in here. And this is from a report from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay. And I had quoted this. The Washington Post had recently ran an article about the Southern Poverty Law Center and the monuments being removed throughout the South. But this, I think, is pretty alarming statistic. It says that on May 19th, 2017, in the Washington Post, they quoted the Southern Poverty Law Center that said that 60 Confederate symbols have been removed or renamed in the last 2 years alone.
That's 30 a year.
Right.
That's
very alarming.
That's 2.5 a month.
Yeah.
And
that is everything from monuments, and those are statues and monuments are what gets the most press notoriety, right. Because there are symbols taken out, but
street names,
yeah. Renaming schools, removing symbols from schools, or city parks, and so. I mean, 60 is a very alarming rate, and the reason we're seeing such alarming rate is these traditional southern cities are now basically run by your black population, non-white population,
yeah.
And they have no love and desire of our culture. Why would they?
Right.
I mean, why would we expect them to have that same love of our culture and heritage, you know? And so, to me, people say, I can't believe they're doing that. Well, would you expect them to do anything different?
Well, they always wanted to build a monument to Martin Luther King.
Right, yeah. So it's like,
What's sad is there are white people on city councils
that goes along with it.
Commission and so forth who go along with it. They're gutless.
Absolutely.
They barely lift up a finger in opposition.
Right, so it is very sad that we see that. But with this monument project, again, we, as the Knights Party, really is the only racialist organization in the United States that have taken this on, this project on, because we have that capability to do that.
Well, there's been some people going to protest at these sites.
Right.
But outside of a protest, they go home and there's no program after that.
Exactly.
It's over.
Exactly. And people protesting, there's nothing wrong with it. Great. I mean, you try to do what you can. But like you said, at the end of the day, when the monument's removed, they're going back home, and that's all they can do. And so this is something that we're looking at long-term. And that's something the Knights have always looked at. It's what's our long-term goal? Not our short-term goal, our long-term goal. And our long-term goal is be able to be in a situation where when things are happening, we as an organization can help steer the fight and the conversation back to the Knights Party. And the reason it's very important is because we have been around for 50 years. We are experts within the racialist movement. We are very much well known with the media, with other organizations. We have had a goal and a plan set out here with being in partnership with the Christian Revival Center to have an office, a headquarters, a location to place these monuments with the new school that we're being built. Here, we are looking for the future, and we have a set plan and goal and a program. And again, that's what sets the Knights apart from basically from every other racialist organization.
We built a foundation here, and you can't build a house without a foundation, not
right.
A strong foundation. And so, when people look at racialist organizations, they might look at some and say, someone who get on the news and they see a lot of hooping and hollering and so on. But where is the foundation?
Right.
And we have established a solid foundation in here in the Boone County, Harrison, Arkansas. We have a beautiful Christian retreat with a church and a campground and our offices and just a place that white families can come to and reconnect with their ancestry. So we have a focal point that the media can come and say, hey, this is the real deal. This is the real thing. And so from that, we have, like the Epic Center, we can then grow and reach out to people. And this is one of the fundamental differences between us and other groups. And we're not knocking down other groups.
Right.
You know, some people say, oh, there's clan rivalry or between this. You know, we're not knocking down anybody. All anybody who stands up in defense of our heritage and culture has our support. We don't knock down or condemn anyone.
But we do believe we have the best program.
There are differences. There are differences.
And we're not ashamed of those differences. And we believe that that's what gives what sets us apart from other racial organizations, because most racialist organizations are very limited. They have not been in existence for a long period of time. They have not been tested over and over again. But the Nice Party has. And what I was going to read is just a quick email letter that I had sent to the mayor of St. Louis.
Okay.
And it just says, and this is what I have sent to several others. Not very long. It just says, Dear Mayor Crewson, who's the mayor of the St. Louis, says, my name is Jason Robb, and I'm an attorney based out of Harrison, Arkansas. I represent the Christian Revival Center and the Nice Party, whom both are interested in obtaining the Confederate monument that is being removed. If a representative of your office will please contact me regarding this possibility, I would appreciate it. Jason Robb, attorney at law, then my address. And so, you know, these are the letters we sent to the different cities regarding that. And like I said, sometimes we'll get a response. Sometimes they ignore us. But again,
we have to do what we can.
We can do what we have to do. You know, like the Bible says, when nothing else you can do but stand, you stand. And that's all you can do. And we just know that we have to be in that position, because ultimately God will give us what we need. You know, we sometimes may not understand it, but we just have to be in that position and situation where we are able to continue to contend for the faith, whatever means necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. There's an article here by Mr. Bowie called Small Changes Result in an Epic Victory. I like that title.
Very, very good title.
Because so often people discount what they do.
Right.
It might say, I passed out 20 copies of the Crusader, up and up. And it seems so tiny when you come back and watch the crap come up. Can I say crap?
You can. You can.
Come across television, you know, and in movies and so forth. And 20, passing out 20 papers, 25 papers doesn't seem like much. And I guess in some ways it's not. I mean, we like to pass out thousands of them, you know. But nevertheless, you know, God works in funny ways. The Bible says he can save by many or by few. And I'm sure Gideon, when he had that large military force to fight his enemies, and God dwindled it down and dwindled it down, finally left with 300. And he's probably thinking to himself, an hour ago, I was a military leader with 20,000 people.
Felt really good. And,
yeah. I was pumped up. I had 20,000 loyal soldiers. Now I've got 300.
300, yeah. Absolutely.
What did I do wrong? You know, I'm sure he probably depressed somewhat,
right.
You know, thinking that. And yet God brought a victory.
Yeah.
So,
because what you know, by little or small, and it goes back to your faith.
Yeah.
You know, and because God is going to deliver our people, but we have to be faithful for us to do that. But this article by Tom Bowie is very good. And of course, one of the things he's always when I talk to him, you know, at church or whatever, because he attends our church service at the Christian Revival Center. One of the things he always likes to say is he likes practical politics, you know, which is practical everyday politics of talking to people and you know, making people aware of what's going on, and just little things. And those little things have major impacts. And with this Last Crusader edition, I guess there's a picture of Tom Bowie there with a couple signs that he had protesting the Pride Festival, which is basically a queer organization festival here in Harrison. This was their second year, and Tom Bowie, as well as about 60 other people from the Christian Revival Center and the Knights Party, came out to protest and also to have a rally for morality. And so it has a picture of Mr. Bowie there, and talking about, you know, the event going on there and standing up for rally for morality. It was Really good article.
He says in this article, he says, I'm going to quote from this article. I quote, "It has been said that if you break the body will heal. But if you break the spirit, the body will die. While there is truth in that statement, it begs the question, what happens when you renew the spirit? A somewhat rhetorical question to be sure, since simply asking it provides at least a partial answer. Renewing the spirit, I mean, that's really so awful. That's what we need in this country. So many people feel defeated.
Right.
They look about and they think, oh my goodness, it's hopeless. You know, what can we do? I mean, they're flooding the illegals. They take over my community, my churches. I can't go to Walmart at night. You know, my children are afraid to go to school. I mean, just all kinds of things. Different degrees of danger for different people, different cities and neighborhoods, of course. But there are people in those very severe situations. We got a letter here a while back, a few years ago. And the guy says that, he said, when the blacks first moved into my neighborhood, I thought, oh, no big deal. So with the black neighbor down the street, you know, I didn't really worry about it, you know. And then a few more moved in. And I talked to my preacher pastor. My pastor told me, well, I'm supposed to just be a good neighbor to them. And so he said, I tried to be a good neighbor. I went over there and visited them. They kind of became my friends. And so I'm trying to be a good Christian, good neighbor. But then more blacks started moving to the neighborhood. And he said, now, he said, I walk outside, and he said, there's a carload of blacks. He used another word, and I can understand why. But drive by, yell, white man, get out of here. You know, my wife was afraid to stay home alone at night. He said, it's a dangerous situation. And, you know, so he is a bad situation. And so the spirit is so often in people like that is really killed. They lose their spirit, and they give up all hope. And it's sad, but
right, and of course, and that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants our people to feel defeated. They don't want our spirit to be renewed because if they know if our spirit is renewed, then they know then that we are going to once again have pride.
Yeah.
And when once you have our people being proud of who they are, having basically a love for their race and their culture and heritage. Once our people have that again, we're unstoppable. And that's what they don't want us to have. And that's why they basically put the pedal to the metal, especially in the last 8 years, you know, that just trying to just slam everything down our throat from the race mixing to the homosexual issues to transgenderism to, just whatever all the cesspool you can think of, they've been doing it because they want our people to be defeated, you know, and if you break the spirit, you'll break the body.
Right. Yeah. That's what they're doing. That's why so many people there's, I mean, I don't know how many, cause we don't have the ability to hire people to go out and take polls, you know, set consensus. So on. But the thing is, we know there's thousands of people who don't like what's happening.
Well, look at the Trump election. Alone. Look at the Trump election.
Good example.
I mean, people felt defeated, but when Trump got elected, it was a white population that came out in millions and droves.
And they felt encouraged.
Yeah, it was what they call the rural vote. It's like they came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, to go to the ballot box to vote for Trump. And so they see that spirit being renewed.
And the thing is, people need to reflect and bear this in mind and keep it in front of your thoughts continually. When the election first occurred, people stopped to remember. When the late election first occurred, they were so shocked and they identified it correctly. They said, this is a white uprising. They said that. The Republican Party become the de facto white people's party of America. White people throughout in rural areas are angry. They kept referring to white people, white people, white people. And the anger of white people would cause Trump to get elected. They don't see that anymore.
No.
You don't hear that at all anymore because they don't want the people supporting Trump who are white. They don't want to keep reminding them this was a white revolt.
Yeah.
And they want to, again, isolate them away from a white identity.
Exactly. Exactly. And, yeah, because they know that people identify themselves as basically it was like white revolution, white revolt. They legitimizes the white racialist nationalist movement, because what we've been saying is the same thing that Donald Trump basically has been saying. And of course, the racialist movement has been saying for 40, 50, 60, 70 years right. about the same things that we're seeing now, what is going to happen. And so when Trump's been saying those things and when he got elected, it kind of put a stamp on your claims are now legitimate.
Yeah.
You know, those are legitimate claims.
And that's why they don't want to talk about it.
They don't want to talk about
it. I mean, occasionally slips out. When Trump spoke in, where was that? Poland, I think, back a few weeks ago.
Right.
And he gave a speech talking about preserving white, not white, he didn't say white.
Poland.
Preserving Western Christian civilization.
Exactly.
Preserving Western civilization. One newscaster made a comment. He said, Trump's speech is, they're claiming Trump's speech sounds like it was written by a white nationalist.
Right.
And they said that. Of course, that person probably was not going to repeat it. But he said it the one time. Occasion comes out. But Trump does represent the fact that there still is some angry white people in this country. And the white people are revolting against the globalist agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to say Tom Bowie. Tom Bowie really does it all. Yeah, he'll write an article occasionally for us. He speaks. But then he's not above getting out in a demonstration and carrying a picket sign, or I should say a picket sign, but carrying a sign, or even going to some place where it might be a little bit volatile with the Antifa, as they call it.
Right.
But then Tom Bowie will turn right around, and he comes up here and works at the center, anywhere from helping keep the flowers watered.
Yeah.
Flowers watered.
The
yeah, no. Keep the ground looking good. Do whatever kind of work around here. Get your hands dirty. Just work hard.
Volunteers. Whatever he needs to do. Volunteers.
Yeah. He does it all.
He's a great man. A great Christian man. I wish we would have a lot more people like him.
And then we got Brenner Warner. We got an article by Brenner Warner here called "How Strong Is Your Conviction to Save Our People?" And that's a good question. You know, how strong people you listen. There are people listening to this broadcast today who don't like what's happening. But really, how strong is that conviction?
Right.
Do you not like it enough that you're willing to do something about it? Maybe even a simple thing, a tiny thing to begin with, because we know people can't take big steps initially.
Well,
they can't take tiny steps, so they kind of get in the groove.
And Brennan Warner, he works at the office staff. He's at the office staff with the Nice Party, originally from South Africa. He was with the white resistance movement in South Africa. He often talks about when he talks to us or when he writes, or even when he's been on guests on this show, how South Africa is really a blueprint of what we see here in the United States. Because he talks about how in South Africa during the apartheid era, when the whites basically gave up their dominance and allowed the blacks to vote along, how the national anthem changed, how the flag changed, how monuments were being changed in South Africa, how your major cities became basically not safe for white families, how the murder rate of white families have increased significantly, how the economy is starting being tanked, how white people are fleeing your major cities, but how now in the country, how white families are having now to kind of almost form a community themselves just for protection. And so he's basically saying what we saw in South Africa is what we are going to start seeing here in the United States, you know? And so it's really interesting talking to Brennan because he has a lot of insight about that. And that is something that we should recognize. When we see all these things happening, our culture being changed, or monuments being changed and being destroyed, we can start saying kind of how South Africa went is right. How we're seeing America is going.
Absolutely. He says, I'm going to quote from this article, "How strong is your conviction to save our people?" I'll give a little quote from that. He says, "Our enemies have attempted to demoralize our people. It might make you want to give up. However, God demands that you be a part of the solution, a man or woman of integrity. Don't just complain. Be a part of the team and give when you are asked and help where you can. We don't need weekend warriors. We need people to follow the vision and stay steadfast."
Very good.
And that's well, no truer words has ever been said than that. People follow vision, stay steadfast. And So sometimes people follow the vision for a short time, but they don't stay steadfast.
Right.
And so the people need to stay focused on the mission, because it's not just for them, but it's for their children. And they need to understand that.
Well, again, it's the people, you know, and part of that vision, obviously, is what's the long-term goal. And if you have a goal, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have to step back several feet. You're going to have to rethink things. But you continually have to press forward and have that faith, knowing that what you're doing is the right thing. And yes, it gets depressing when we see what's happening around us. But we have to understand that what's the alternative?
Yeah,
not to do anything.
If you don't get a little bit depressed, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
You gotta be angry about what's happening, but you can't just settle on it. You've
right.
got to take that anger and then re-turn it around.
Right.
You know, and use it for a force for good.
Well, and that's one thing I really like about the Knights Party, because we really stress the positive aspect of that. That even though we see all this negativity out there, we see all the thing that's happening, all the destruction, we also see hope out there. We also see hope in the future. We also see that there are people that are wanting to help preserve their culture and heritage.
Absolutely.
We know the statistics of where white people are moving to the heartland of America. And we know that when this happens over a period of time, people will start thinking, even though maybe by force, people are going to start thinking of themselves as a race, as their own culture. And with that, when you have people start thinking that aspect, you're not going to be able to stop them.
Right.
And that's what the enemy wants to stop. They want to destroy that. And so to me, that gives me hope, because we see maybe nationally what's happening as far as the United States, but also I see what's happening in the heartland of America with white people moving. It's almost like they have an inner spirit of gotta go to the heartland of America. It's like they can't explain it.
Yeah.
No. Some people can explain it. It's like, I'm the only white person around.
Yeah.
So, but there's something driving them to the heartland of
right.
America, because they see the old ways. They see how America
yeah.
used to be. You go any town in the South, in the Midwest, for the most part, it's the same way there was back in the 40s and 50s and
yeah.
60s. Nothing, not, things have changed a little bit, but not as nothing as drastic as you see in your major cities.
Right.
You know. And
well, the thing is, they don't want white people to be encouraged. They don't want them to renew their spirit. And they don't want them to have pride in history again. They want to keep them demoralized, because they know that you angry white men who love their culture, their family, their heritage, that these sissy transgender people
right.
throw a chance.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's
almost like laughing.
Queer, transgender people. I mean, there's no way they can stand up to get some angry white
right.
boys.
Oh, absolutely.
And speaking about transgender people, what about Donald Trump saying that transgender people can't be in the military?
That's
anymore?
Awesome.
That's
I
awesome.
Mean, that's a bold move.
I
know a lot of people trash Trump, you know, like that, but that's just a bold move.
That's a bold move.
The easy thing would say, well, that's already been in place. We're not going to do anything about it, you know, but I mean, just say, I can't serve in the military.
Yeah.
You're not going to serve in the military. I mean, that is just a huge, huge blow against the queer movement. You
yeah.
know? And so good job, Donald Trump, for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, I think we're about out of time for the show here.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of good things to talk about. I just remind people about the Congress coming up September 1, 2, and 3. Get online and register. And I
would also say that, you know, by some chance you're not able to attend that conference, I would request, you know, and ask that pray about it and send some type of donation or offering to help for this conference. This conference, all conference here are very expensive to run. We have speakers coming in. We got supplies we buy, food to buy. We have people coming in. So it's really an expensive part of the year, an event, and sending $40, $50, $100, we know people can send more than that, would drastically help cover those costs, because you may not be able to attend, but there are white families attending. And so this really conference would help, just lighten the load for the organization. If you're a member listening, that's part of your duty and obligation as a member to make sure that you're helping to support this organization so we can carry on your work.
Absolutely, because it's an important work. It's like in the book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah comes back to Jerusalem after leaving Babylon, and they're going to rebuild the wall. And some of the enemy want to meet with him, like in a conference. And he says, "I'm sorry, I can't come. I've got important work I'm doing." And that's what we're doing. We're doing an important work here, but it can't be done without your help. So really stop and consider that. We're not supported by Fortune 500 companies or George Soros, anybody. Supported only by men and women, hardworking men and women, who understand the responsibility to pay their Christian tithe to support the work of White Christian Revival. So until next time, this is Thomas Robb.
And Jason Robb.
And we'll have Rachel back next week, hopefully. We're reminding you to love your God and to love your people.